I'll be honest with you. On more than one occasion, when Robert and I have our morning powwow, I'm looking for a reason to talk to Senator David Luckfield because I miss him now that he's retired. And I finally had enough reasons that I just called him the other day and said, "You want to come on?" And David said, "Okay." So I was happy. Hey, it's good to hear from you again, David. How are you?
Well, it's good to be with you. You know, I'm obviously a little bored.
Well, see, now I was wondering about that. We'll get to some of that in a minute. And you know, and one of the reasons why I want to talk to you about this, because I think this is, in many ways, unprecedented. A state being run largely by executive fiat, by gubernatorial decree.
Right now, yes.
You know, I mean, it's executive orders. The legislators have been left out of the loop. I can't think of a time where anything quite like this has been done. When it comes to decision-making, it's the governor's mansion.
Well, it's a tough decision, obviously. I think that different parts of the state, obviously, are different. And, I think that if you close everything down, then the economy falls apart and a lot of bad things happen. If you don't, then you might have more cases of the virus. So it's a tough call, but you shouldn't treat the whole state the same way. And I think sometimes the governor misses the boat in that regard.
Do you think that if the legislators were there, that would be reflected in the decision making?
I think if the legislators were there, they'd argue about it a lot. And I'm not real sure. You know, there'd be disagreements there too, and what kind of a decision you'd finally come up with is really difficult to say.
And then the time period in which the decision to come about
right. Wouldn't
be easy
right.
either. So you're thinking maybe, you know, knowing government as you do, that, well, like you said, in more than one time I've heard people say, what if I'm wrong when it comes to decision making, you know, in their businesses, workplace, hospitals and things, on schools and things along that line. So they err on the side of caution. But still, a lot of legislators say we should be involved in some of this decision making.
You know, I don't totally disagree with that. You know, there could maybe be a panel of legislators, the whole legislators doing, all of them doing it. I think that would be a real mess because I've been there and I've watched them and they don't always agree and finally don't come up with any kind of a decision. So, and the state is so different. You know, we down here, I think, we're more spread out. We're outdoors most of the time, all that sort of stuff. We certainly aren't like here, you know, in here in this, most of Southern Illinois. It's not like Metro East, you know, it's a completely different. So it's never really easy to make that kind of a decision.
You know, I have had the opportunity to use your name recently, and I've ever once in a while I've gotten the idea that David's uncomfortable with what I call the Luckdefeld effect, what I call the state of mind that is achieved in the voter, that is the state has done enough, cut and saved when it comes to tax approvals that they would improve a tax increase, that the state has manifest its will to do something about its spending problems and the voter would approve of a tax. Well, when it comes to fair tax, a fundamental change, cracking open the Constitution, while at the same time we've seen the state deliver no discernible effort to self-control.
You know, the state has, you know, it was bankrupt before the pandemic, with just plain spending more than we took in every year. And you know, I think most people would say, okay, I don't mind paying more taxes if it were to go to pay the bills. And with this particular tax, it will take in more money. But I simply say to the people, that money, it's been my experience, if more money's taken in, it will be spent, and not to pay the bills. And if there was some guarantee that you could get it to pay the bills, to get this state back where it should be, you know, I could agree, but that, I know better. That's not going to happen. It's just, you know, there's such a demand that coming out of Chicago to have new programs, bigger programs, and that's where the money will go. And it always has been the case, and it will, I'm sure, going to be the case.
You know, I think marijuana tax is a good example. I mean, they literally said, it's not enough. It's the drop in the bucket. And it's like $100 million. It's nothing. Well, at the same time, you know, they presented us marijuana will bring in needed tax money, and at the same time, scoffing at the amount, even though it seems rather large. You can go all the way back to the lottery. You can go back to casino gambling and time and time again, and temporary taxes that were, well, not so temporary after a time. I mean, there's a lot of examples to back you up on this.
Well, there's no doubt that, you know, every time that income tax is passed, that it will be claimed that this is going to go to education, or this is going to go, you know, to solve our problems. The problem is it doesn't, or it hasn't in the past, and that's why we're in the position that we're in right now. And I'm certain that if we pass this flat tax, it probably will bring in more money. It will chase some people away from the state, but it won't go to pay the bills, and there's no guarantee. It hasn't in the past, and I don't see why that's going to change now, because basically the same people are running the state that have run it for the last 30, 40 years.
You know, it's interesting, as I look at this as a stick, because carrot and stick, I get. You got a carrot and a stick, right? You want the carrot, you want the stick. But it looks like it's two sticks. The lieutenant governor says if we don't do the fair tax, a 20% increase in taxes, or we increase the taxes, or we're going to increase the taxes. That's kind of my takeaway. I guess it's really a matter of who. And in the way when you look at this, it's almost like conquer and divide. We'll do this section here, and then we'll do this section because, well, why? Because, as Mike Lawrence has told me more than one occasion, because we can.
Right. Yeah, it's we'll see what happens. Certainly the people have an opportunity to vote on it because it's a constitutional amendment. I don't know which way it goes. People have asked me, and I say, I don't know. I really don't know.
You know, it's interesting, and I kind of rail against this every 4 years, that Illinois is just left out of the presidential race, right? I mean, I don't even think we've gotten a candidate who's visited Illinois since we've got her whittled down to the one Democrat and one Republican. And I kind of always feel a little left out, right, when it comes to this. But the fact is, in the state of Illinois, there are some things on the ballot that are very, very important. One, of course, we just talked about, fair tax. But another item I want to speak to you about this morning, and if you didn't know, Dave Luchtefeld is joining us. He's a retired senator. He says he's bored, but I think he's been keeping his hand busy, because my understanding is, David, you're also the chairman for what I think is going to be the big item on the ballot in many respects, and that's the Supreme Court. And you're the chairman of the Dave Overfeld Campaign Committee?
It'd be Overstreet.
Overstreet.
Yes, I am. I think it is the most important race, especially for Southern Illinois. Carmeier's been the Supreme Court justice from this area and really, really has reformed the judicial system in Southern Illinois, where we can sort of be proud of it. And so this, who gets that position this time is going to be key. There's no question about it. I wait till it's over, because, you know, as you watch the commercials on television, you say, you know, I believe that's the worst commercial, the most disgusting, the biggest lie I've ever seen. And then the next year comes around, and you say the same thing over. And I saw one the other night that I thought was one of the most disgusting, untrue commercials, and it had to do with the Supreme Court race. One of the candidates accused the other one of setting a rapist free. Now, why would a guy do that? Why would a person do that? Well, it's not true. It's just not true. The whole story has not been told. There is a person over in Centralia who was on trial for molesting a child. He had a trial, but at the trial he couldn't be there because he was in intensive care, so he wasn't at the trial. Well, when the trial was over, he appealed for another trial, and the court unanimously, a court of three people unanimously, basically said, yeah, everyone in America deserves a fair trial, and you couldn't be there, so there'll be another trial. Well, that is being portrayed as a situation in which one of the candidates set him rapist free. And that, again, I think so far it wins the prize of one of the most untrue and disgusting commercials I've seen. Maybe I'll see a worse one before it's over. But at this time of the year, you see some, and people are really tired of that. And sometimes we don't know what the truth is. And this is certainly untrue. In fact, anyone who would not agree that he should have a new trial, and it was unanimous, by the way, probably shouldn't be on the court at all, any court.
Right. David, I don't know if you know this yet, because I made arrangements, I believe it was yesterday. David Overstreet is going to be joining me, I think, Tuesday at 8:20, and I am going to be asking him directly to this question, and I believe on Monday at 8:20, it's either one or the other, but I think Judy Cates Monday at 8:20, and I'm also going to be asking her about these accusations as well. It's coming from the Clean Court Committee when you hear them here on News Radio WJPF, and watching the story very closely. And I couldn't help but think early on in the Supreme Court race, because I was, I literally was elbows deep in the Mag Carmire race, and that was one of the roughest things I've ever been around politically. I mean, it was right. It was dark alley kind of stuff. And I thought, wow, it looks like a Supreme Court race a little more civil this time around. And well, it's not at this point. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's the other issue is there's a lot of money being thrown at this race as well. Why is that? Why is there so much money invested in the Supreme Court race in the state of Illinois?
Well, first of all, the big trial firms have a lot of money, and they look at the courts as an investment. They'd like any chance of winning cases. That's how they make their money. And so they're going to look to try to get someone who might be fair to them. And they will put whatever amount of money you need into it. And one of the candidates has all the money that that's needed, more than needed, really. It comes to millions. But they are, and so the business community and other people try to fight back the best they can. So it really is a very important position on the court, especially here in Southern Illinois, because the courts have gotten so much better since Carmire's been in. I certainly believe that the candidate that I'm supporting, Judge Overstreet, is that kind of person, and will continue to help keep it straight and straight as it should be. Courts should be fair and honest, not geared to. Judges should not be geared to going to vote one way no matter what, and because of maybe who supports them. So we'll see how it turns out. But this commercial is just over the top, and I don't know how you fight something like that. I mean, it just is, you say, my goodness, that can't be. And it is not true. There's no question. The whole story's not being told. And I don't know how you turn that around, how you get to people and say that's not true, that's a lie. So we'll see how it turns out.
All right. Now, I received a press release from Judy Cates on this subject of David Overstreet, saying asking him to respond to his record on releasing a child molester, as I said a moment ago. I've asked David to do that. He's agreed to come on the show next week and do that very thing. So we'll hear it directly from Justice Overstreet. But in this press release, something else that caught my attention. And that was the accusations that she'd been receiving, and we're talking she, Judy Cates, money from Mike Madigan. In her press release, she says, I've accepted $0 from Madigan and his organization, and I will go on record to say that I think Mike Madigan should step down from his position because of the obvious corruption that surrounds him. This is a direct reading from her press release of October 19th. So Madigan, the Special Investigation Committee, at the same time, the background of the Ethics Committee, and neither one seems to be getting any traction. They've missed in the Ethics Committee, a number of deadlines.
Well, she's going to say whatever it takes to win the race, and many politicians on the but nothing happens without Madigan's approval. The money doesn't get there one way or another. It's funneled through other organizations, other groups, no matter what. And without Madigan's approval, she would probably not be getting the trial lawyer's money. So nothing happens in Illinois, and it hasn't been that way for the last 40 years. And anybody that did this, I'm sure his name is not on it, but don't kid yourself. He's for Judy Cates.
Senator Dave Luchtefeld, Dave, before I wrap up today, wish I had more time, but we've got a lot on our plate. I think voter fatigue is part of it, but also people are deeply engaged. The presidential election, the fair tax has seen it's more than its fair share of monies and strong support from the governor's office. Well, from the governor personally, 56 million dollars given to some of the funds there. So a fight out there, the Supreme Court, the presidential race. What's your takeaway from this year from an Illinois perspective, from a former senator, as you look at the ballot? What stands out to you as important priorities?
Well, certainly this race, the Supreme Court race, is huge, I think, and we'll see how it turns out. And you know, the presidential race you mentioned early on, you know, it's going to go, we are a state like California, like New York, that's going to go Democratic no matter what. And so that vote doesn't really mean as much as certainly the progressive income tax. That's huge. And that would take a 60% vote to get it passed. But a tremendous amount of money on both sides. Certainly the governor has put in like 50-some million, and then the business community has put almost that much, I guess, in to try to defeat it. My concern, again, is, as I said, I don't mind paying taxes as long as the taxes goes to pay the bills. And that has not happened in Illinois for actually decades. And that's why we're in the position we're in. And I think the governor hopes that this passes. Plus, he also hopes that the federal government bails them out because of the pandemic. I don't mind the federal government paying some to states of money lost because of the pandemic, but I don't think that you ought to bail each of these states out for bad behavior in the past. And some of those states kept a balanced budget and are okay except for the pandemic. So I think there will be money go to the states from the federal government in the stimulus package, just as long as it doesn't just bail the bad ones out that have made mistakes for decades. So we'll see how that all turns out. We don't have to wait long. You know, it's only a couple weeks away.
Yeah, and I know that's what Indiana's saying. Look, we've watched our books. Why should we be bailing you out? And that's Indiana to Illinois, so, and I get that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there'll be some money, I think, before it's all over in the stimulus package to help states with the money that they've lost because of the pandemic. And there's no question that has really put the budgets of local and states in trouble. And I see nothing wrong with trying to help them in that regard. But to give them enough to bail them out, those who have had bad behavior in the past, I think is wrong.
Well, you know, and I think people would understand that, but when you see that money in the Cures money allocated March 27th and it's still been largely undistributed, we're saying we're drowning out here, and they say we need to get something done as quickly as possible, and then it sits there in the coffers. So there's that level of frustration as well.
Well, and, you know, it's all about the election. You know, I think the Republicans think if they could get a certain type of package passed, it might help Trump. The Democrats want to beat Trump, say we don't want to give him and they'll explain it in all kinds of ways. I mean, it's been a story. It's a way politics can be an ugly business. And, you know, I don't have a better form of government, but it can certainly be an awfully ugly business when it comes to election time. And most of the time, it's all about winning the election rather than a lot of other things that politicians will tell you about.